Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
October 29th, when the stock market crashed in 1929. Hope it doesn't happen again, but you never know. As the late George Christopher, San Francisco's greatest, last, honest, ethical, and competent mayor, businessman, diplomat, builder, said, when he learned that the big boys go behind the scenes at when the 3 o'clock bell rings and make deals for the next day, he learned about this. Christopher pulled his money out and invested in bank rentals and that. So he said, they got to pay me. So that's just a word of advice from a man who entered this country legally as a child. And when he was 2 years old, he became a great American and a successful businessman, one of the best mayors this country has ever seen. We'll be playing more of the interviews that we did with him. There was a TV film made in collaboration with a descendant of a great American writer. We'll get into that another day. And, of course, we've got Giants fever here in San Francisco. Of course, they're on their way to Texas. So we'll see if the Giants win tonight. And we'll be playing how the New York Giants were lured to San Francisco. We'll play a little later. Well, we're close to the midterm elections. And let's just hope that people get out and vote and make sure their vote is counted as they're being very sophisticated with their vote fraud. And go to our Amicus Veritas, Californians Against Voter Fraud website, and you'll see how it was done in San Francisco. They have improved upon the methods, the blatant methods, or what somebody called honest graft, that you see in places like New York, Boston, Chicago, even Montreal, under the when Mayor Marcel Duplessis, was called the Richard Daley of Canada, a very corrupt mayor up there, and ran his police force for a bunch of thugs. Very interesting. It just goes to show you that public corruption is international. So let's go to today's birthdays. Today, not that many, but enough. We have, appropriately for Halloween in 1884, Bela Lugosi. He was born today, and of course, we enjoyed as kids watching him in all of those horror films of the 30s. Also, a guy who also played Frankenstein, he was a descendant of what they called the Anglo-Indians. Those were British descendants of British soldiers and freebooters who had gone to India and married or shacked up with Indian women. And the children from the issue of those relationships were called Anglo-Indian. In fact, one of the greatest musicians in English history, Sir Edward Elgar, he married the daughter of a British field marshal, Lord Roberts, who was Anglo-Indian. Lord Roberts was famous during the period of the Boer War, the Afghan Wars, and around World War I. Also, we have Fanny Brice. Remember, Barbara Streisand played her. She was that was her big debut on Broadway, where she was the star in that Broadway show. And that made her with that great voice of her. And also today, this is appropriate for all of those propagandists and those so-called political consultants and the people who claim to be honest pollsters. This was his first name. Paul Joseph Goebbels was born today in 1897. And he had a bum leg. I think he was Roman Catholic. So was Himmler. And, of course, Hitler. I don't know about Goring. But he was quite a propagandist, and the corrupt media people and propagandists and political consultants and pollsters still study his methods today. Also, one of the greatest cartoonists was born today, Bill Maudlin, M-A-U-D-L-I-N. And then we had John Stewart, Canadian, not the John Stewart of the show, greatest Wagnerian singer of his time, born in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And of course, I have a theory that in order to sing Wagner, which is really taxing, you've got to be practically a Tarzan up there on the stage. Some of our best Wagnerian singers come from cold climates, like Kirsten Flagstad, this guy John Stewart. Now, the John Stewart that we hear about on New York, actually, that is his stage name. His birth name is Lieberman, so he's a good Jewish boy from, I don't know if he's related to Senator Lieberman from Kentucky, but I think his brother, John Stewart Lieberman's brother, is a financial expert or stockbroker on Broadway. And then we had another great pianist. You don't hear too much about him. Michael Ponte was born today. And this is important. 1947, Richard Dreyfuss was born in Evanston, Illinois. He is the descendant of Colonel Alfred Dreyfuss, one of the most notorious cases 100 years ago, where he was a Jewish, wealthy Jewish officer, artillery expert, and he was set up by a guy who, Captain Esterhazy, who was Hungarian descent, somehow got in the French army and was running the male whorehouse in Paris, was connected to Oscar Wilde, and he had gambling debts, and he couldn't get enough money being an officer in the French army, so he was trying to sell military secrets on French artillery to Colonel Schwarzkoppen, who was homosexual. It's very interesting, these people. And they set up Dreyfuss because there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the French army, and there's still anti-Semitism in France today, even though their president, Sarkozy, is a Hungarian descent, and his grandfather was the chief rabbi of France, although they converted to Roman Catholicism, but he's divorced, I think, twice. So there's a question whether he's still in the Roman Catholic Church. But the Dreyfuss name is coming up in the Colonel Lakin case, L-A-K-I-N. He's the Army colonel who's demanding that since he has to swear to obey the orders of the commander-in-chief, which is the President of the United States, currently Obama, he wants to see a birth certificate. And so for this, he was told to shut up. He refused, exercising his constitutional rights. And so Colonel Aiken has been court-martialed, and they think it's going to be another military kangaroo court trial. A lot of people who are in the military are aware of this. And they've even got a lieutenant general who's come to who filed an affidavit saying that Colonel Lakin is within his rights and he didn't violate the Universal Code of Military Justice. There are a number of military people who are serving officers and retired officers who are concerned that Obama will not produce a valid birth certificate. And this certificate of live birth is not acceptable. And they point to John McCain, who was born in the Canal Zone when the United States still controlled the Panama Canal. And McCain, that was an issue in his when he ran for Congress, and he had to produce a birth certificate. So it's an issue there. His court-martial has been, his rights have been abused in the military court-martial system. Now, it's a dual-track system. Once anybody who's in the military is court-martialed, and if they get a guilty verdict, they can appeal up through the there's a military court of appeals. When they resolve that one way or the other, if they are still found guilty, then they can appeal to the federal court system. So it's a dual-track system, and it's the only one. What the military. It's one of their prerogatives, one of their rights, because they have special duties and special responsibilities, and so they're given special rights. But there's still people like people who are in San Francisco in the district attorney's office and in the court system who think that they can tell the judges. In fact, they did say this. Those federal judges in the Steve Mary case were told, or this was said about them, they know where to stick their gavel. This is the kind of arrogance, the insolence, the corruption that we have in our court system. We even have a guy who's a pornographer running for a court seat here, a guy named Michael Nava, very controversial. None of the judges want to have anything to do with him, and all the people who support pedophilia and pornography are supporting his candidacy, and he's not qualified. Very abrasive personality. He's a lawyer working for the California State Supreme Court, and I guess they got rid of him. We don't know all the entire story, but he's certainly not qualified. And pornography, if somebody's a lawyer who's writing pornography, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, it's that type of person does not belong on any bench wearing any judicial robes. Doesn't even belong in any court system. Among the other, now, the deaths today, we don't have that many, but this is also interesting because it deals with, again, military person and treason. Sir Walter Raleigh, he was a freebooter, hated Roman Catholics, was a great favorite of Queen Elizabeth I, raided a lot of Spanish settlements, destroyed Spanish galleons and stole gold and jewels, and eventually he met his fate in the Tower of London, and the word was whenever you went to the Tower of London and were sent there, you're coming out minus your head. So he was executed today in 1608. And this here, another death here, which since we're talking about presidents, the little Napoleon of the Union Army, George McClellan, or Little Mac, he died today, and he ran for president against Lincoln. And then we have an assassin of President McKinley, Leon Koglis, was executed today. And then another someone from the White and within the presidency, she died today. Frances Cleveland Preston. She was the second wife of Grover Cleveland. And Grover Cleveland was the governor of New York, and he had an illegitimate child. And the limerick in those days, the political limerick was, "Ma, ma, where's my pa? He's in the White House. Ha, ha, ha." So, but he was the only president to be reelected after an interim. He was elected, I think, in 1880, defeated by Benjamin Harrison, who was the son of General William Harrison, Tippecanoe, and Tyler II. Harrison was the shortest serving president, lasted about 35 days, caught pneumonia because he gave the longest presidential inaugural speech, bareheaded also, in history. He was out there and he caught a cold and he died. And then John Tyler, who later served in the Confederacy, in the Confederate Congress, he became president one termer. But Benjamin Harrison was defeated, and then Grover Cleveland ran against him, and Grover Cleveland was reelected. So that's interesting. Of course, we have a similar situation, not quite here in California, if we have Jerry Brown of the Brown Dynasty, who's a perennial candidate, or some people call him a rethread, political rethread, has run for every office that's available. Recently, and he's running for governor. He's about 74, and people think if he dies in office, whoever lieutenant governor is going to succeed, and that's going to really reshape California politics, especially if it's the mayor of San Francisco. Incidentally, the last mayor of San Francisco to run successfully for governor, George Christopher, ran against Reagan and lost in the primary. Back in the 30s, was also the longest-serving mayor of San Francisco, a guy named Sonny Jim Rolph, R-O-L-P-H, very famous name in San Francisco history. It's not too well known that he was also a cockfighter. He was a big, fat guy, and he used to fight. He had fighting cocks up in the penthouse of the St. Francis Hotel in Union Square. Those of you who've been to San Francisco have seen that famous hotel. And that's a hotel where usually all the diplomats and the presidents, foreign dignitaries, come. When they come to San Francisco, they generally stay there. I had to do a couple of interviews there. One of the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Australian diplomat, high-ranking diplomat, and a couple others. Very interesting. And then in Hollywood, we have Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and that lion. Everybody said that lion is pretty old. He died today, and Adolph Monju, who was part of the Republican conservative crowd in Hollywood, had a distinctive accent and that mustache. He died today. Great actor also. And then for all of us Rockies, rock star people, Duane Allman was killed in an automobile motorcycle accident today. And then the great jazz clarinetist Woody Herman, he died today. One of the interesting events, excuse me, so this bloody cold, William Penn founded Pennsylvania today, and one of the greatest operas of all time, Mozart's Don Giovanni, was produced in Prague today. And then this is baseball, and of course we got baseball fever. In 1889, then the New York Giants beat the Brooklyn team for the World Series. And let's replay how the New York Giants were lured to San Francisco.
Anyway, you started to say, ask me something else.
About the Giants, how did you lure them here?
Well, that's a long story, too. We all know that we aspired to be a major league city. And at that time, there was a lot of discussion about trying to get the Boston Red Sox here, only because Joe Cronin was a manager of the Boston team. And after making a few inquiries, I realized that there was no chance of getting them to come out to San Francisco. Well, we all liked Joe Cronin, but still the move was not feasible. And then one day I learned that Walter O'Malley had been visiting Los Angeles. And I said, well, Los Angeles is a lucrative area, but if he can't possibly move to Los Angeles with his Dodgers, because if he did, certainly the Giants would not necessarily move, because how can two major teams leave that area all at one time? So I called Stoneham, and I went back there. But I used to leave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. so I wouldn't be away, and then confer with them over Saturday and Sunday. And that was some pretty hard, they were pretty strong discussions, because I had a cigar with Stoneham, and he liked his scotch, and I had to take a few shots myself accordingly to keep company. And the thing that impressed me, however, was that Walter O'Malley was always present. Always present. So that I was trying to put two and two together and say, well, why is he here? If he's here because he must have some kind of a deal going on with Norrie Poulsen, who was then the mayor of Los Angeles. And I think it's only reasonable to assume that if he moved to Los Angeles, he would want the Giants to come to San Francisco for the competition.
Mario, we got to get say some film for Rich tonight, okay?
So, and then the second thought came to me, well, it's impossible for the Giants and the Dodgers to simultaneously move. It's just beyond comprehension. But I came back and I called Norrie Poulsen, who was then the mayor of Los Angeles. I said, Norrie, are you consulting with O'Malley to bring the Dodgers here? Oh, he says, I can't talk about those things. He says, no. He denied it vehemently, absolutely denied it. So I waited a week. And I went back to New York. Again, there was O'Malley and Stoneham. And I'd arrive there about 10 o'clock in the evening. I'd be up until all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I was kind of getting to be a nervous wreck. All night sessions. And they wouldn't tell me anything, but they were... And I surmised that... The delay must have been because Walter O'Malley, who was a very shrewd, I must say, he was he of the two.
Okay, we're going to...
Anyway, you started to say, ask me something else.
About the Giants, how did you lure them?
We'll pay part two Monday. We'll run an election special on Monday. And we'll, since this is very important, the part two of that interview we did, about an hour and a half interview on a variety of subjects before the late, great George Christopher died. And we also want to remember Tom Bolsey, who starred in Fiorello, 1950s Broadway play, in which we use one of the themes in public domain. And he was from Chicago, great actor. He died earlier this week, earlier this month. And we don't see his kind anymore. Very distinctive, gravelly voice. And he depicted Fiorello H. LaGuardia, who also was going to run for president, or people wanted him to run. Mayor of New York. And they had a newspaper strike, and this is how he bought it. These guys were really characters: George Christopher, Sonny Jim Rolfe, Fiorello LaGuardia. We don't see their kind anymore. We see these pretty boys embracing all these disgusting agendas. I won't mention names, but anyway, there was a newspaper strike in New York, and so what he did, he took to the radio, and in his imitable voice, maybe I should play that tape. We have it in the archives. And which he read the comics to the kids. And that broke the newspaper strike. It was so embarrassing. And the kids were upset. You know, they couldn't get their comics because there was a newspaper strike. I think that's the story. And one of his reforms. And also, Fiorello LaGuardia, interesting background, was born out in Arizona. Family was Italian and Jewish. And I guess he was raised as an Episcopalian. And he served in World War I. He was a pilot. Came back to New York and got a law degree. And he worked with the new immigrants, and trying to help them stand up for their rights and learn what their rights were and protect their rights and to fight Tammany Hall corruption. And it culminated in the famous, and there's a Bob Hope movie, his only straight role he ever did, called, it's called Gentleman Jimmy. After the guy's name was, the mayor was James J. Walker, who was a songwriter, Irish Catholic, and he was fooling around with other women, and FDR was governor of New York at the time, and he called him up to Albany and told him to clean up his act or else. So he forced James J. Walker out. Walker was part of that Irish, I guess you call it, not Bowery crowd, but not the Joe Kennedy type Irishman or Irish Catholic, and there's a dispute about even defining Irish as Catholics or Catholics as Irish. But anyway, he was fooling around with Betty Comden, I think, and then he resigned from mayor, and then all the scandals started to erupt, and people like Pilar and LaGuardia were trying to expose these scandals, and some great songs from the Broadway show, and maybe we'll play a clip later on, not today, though. And Pilar LaGuardia became the mayor, and there was a public corruption commission called the Judge Seabury Commission, and he went after the police department, all the corrupt politicians in the various city departments. But James J. Walker they couldn't pin anything on him. He didn't take a dime, he said. And Bo James, that's the movie. I highly recommend it. Bob Hope played depicted James J. Walker, mayor of New York, and it was his only straight role. And he did. It was a very famous song that James Walker wrote called "Will You Love Me in November Like You Did in May." And of course, that's appropriate for all of these politicians. And we'll see if we can find the radio station copy and play a clip from that. Anyway, let's hope that you all go out, and those of you who are willing to vote, make sure your vote is counted, and you have a right to check the voter rolls. If you suspect somebody is voting illegally, you have a right to check to see if they're legally registered and if they're a U.S. citizen. None of this, we still don't have, thank God, in the majority, overwhelming majority of our cities, this same day, election day registration and voting, which is just a brazen attempt at massive voter fraud. There's no way to find these people. In fact, you go to our other website, Californians Against Voter Fraud, and you'll see how they did vote fraud in San Francisco. We don't have to put up with this. We we're going to preserve our democracy. We've got to have honest elections. And I highly recommend that, you stand up for honest elections and get rid of all these people trying to manipulate, bully, and intimidate voters. So we're going to close with what's appropriate, politics and poker, and we'll see you Monday.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the gun.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Like, put
or poker? Which is more important?
Paratrade.
Well, politics is more important. We hope you vote Tuesday, and make sure your vote is counting. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night.